Thank you so much for this time that we have together. And God, I just thank you for a group of people who are committed to building your house, God, and a group of people who just want to see your kingdom come, God, and just do your will and find your purpose, God. And I just pray that right now you'd really just speak to us and reveal to us just what you want to say in your word, God. And yeah, really just speak through me, God. Amen. All right. So I have a really simple message tonight. And it's actually... that's literally what my message is about, is being simple or getting back to simple or something like that. Like, you can come up with a catchier title than that if you want. But I've been thinking about this lately, and in 1 Corinthians, like Paul says, like, I just want to preach Christ and Him crucified, and that's it. Like, and just thinking about how in our lives, and we tend to make things so complicated, and we look for like these big things, or we're trying to figure out what's going on, we're trying to figure out what we should do, or what God has for our life, or the purpose of God for us, and so then we get like worried about it. I know that I'm not the only person who does, like all of us do that. We have these times where you're kind of racking your brain, and I think partly it's good because you want to honor God, and you want to get what God has for your life, and you want to seek Him, and you don't want to just do your own thing, but also like... we're not supposed to worry about it. We're not supposed to freak out about it and do all that. Because, like, yeah, God knows that we want to seek Him. God knows that we want to fulfill His purpose. And I know that all of us here want to see that happen. But He says, but you don't need to worry about that. And in Luke 12, in verse 22, Jesus is talking about, like, all sorts of stuff. But then He starts to talk about worry. And He says to His disciples, He says... therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear, because life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, yet they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than many birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And He just keeps going, and He talks about flowers, and how even though they don't do anything, they're just more amazing than even Solomon was in all of his splendor. And it just keeps going on. And I was just thinking about that and how Jesus is just telling us, don't worry. He's like, there is all this stuff that you could be worried about. But He says, but trust me, and you don't need to worry about it. He says, I know that you need it. I'm there. Don't worry about it. But He says, but like, pursue heaven, pursue the things that don't wear out, and I'll take care of you. Amen. And that's what God says. So we don't have to worry. We can just trust God. And so I was thinking about just simple faith and simple purpose, and how Jesus says that like we would come like a child. Like in Matthew 18, He says, in verse 1, the disciples ask, like, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And it says Jesus like points to a kid, and He says, this kid here, says, unless you become like this little child, then you won't enter the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom belongs to such as these. And He says, therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So He says, the best thing you can do, the greatest you can be in the kingdom of heaven is like this little child, yeah? This little child that comes and takes this humble place, and that's the greatest. And then in John 10, He talks about us and talks about us being sheep. And... like, so I just think about that because, like, you think about sheep and sheep are sheep. They're not, like, renowned for their intelligence or their charisma or their talent. They kind of just do whatever and they just follow. That's what a sheep does. And so it's really interesting that Jesus comes and He says, look, you don't need to be, like, all this other stuff. You just need to be like a child. You just need to be like a sheep. And He's telling this to like His disciples, and He's telling this to the Pharisees, who are all caught up in trying to figure out what God wants them to do legally. And He says to them, don't worry about that, but just follow your master like a sheep does, yeah? And so when I was thinking about this, I think it's really quite simple, yeah? The purpose of God for your life is really simple, and that's just to follow Jesus. And that's it. Like, it's just, that's how you will find God's purpose, yeah? You don't need to strive or worry or stress or anything like that, but you can just follow. And that is the essence of it. And I guess when I was thinking about just like, how would you find the purpose of God for your life? Like, how would we build our church? Like, as house builders, we're here to build the church and to build God's kingdom, to build His house. Well, how do we do that? We don't do that just by, like, getting more education or knowing more stuff or getting, like, the latest awesome idea from the latest whatever. But we get there by following Jesus. Yeah, amen? And at the very start of the church in Acts, just in Acts 2, we read about the early church, the very first time that really the church was kind of happening, things were happening, you know, where it is. And I was amazed as you read this story that basically what happens is Jesus tells the disciples to wait, and so what do? They wait. And then the Holy Spirit comes, and so then Peter gets up and he addresses the crowd, and then people get saved. And then it says that they, like, devoted themselves, and they broke bread, they fellowshiped, they taught. I was really interested that they just did all of this stuff that Jesus did. And like, the only thing that the disciples did in building the church was just to do exactly what Jesus did when He was with them and just keep on doing it. And so, like, Jesus broke bread and fellowshipped and taught, and so that's what they did. Jesus healed people, so that's what they did. And it's just so simple. But we get so worried, yeah, about what we can do and whether we're doing the right thing. And I know all of us have those worries. And I think sometimes God just wants to say to us, look, don't worry so much. He says, I know the things that you need. I know the worries that you have, but just follow me and it'll be okay, yeah? Just follow me, and I will build your house, and I will build the house of God, and I will build your life, yeah? Because it's not just about, like, getting stuff for yourself, but as you build God's house, He builds your house, and I truly believe that. And so I just have just a few thoughts. I think just things that are simple to build a simple faith. Is that all right? If you're with me, say hello. Good. I feel like it's a Wednesday night, because it's a Wednesday night. But you know what I mean, on a deeper level than that. I also was at work all day today, so I know. But I just feel like, I don't know, it's a simple thing, but hopefully it speaks to you tonight. So the first thing I think we need is just a simple faith. And Jesus says just to come like a child, just to come and have faith in Him, to trust in Him. Like a little kid just trusts people, and it's not until you get older and you get hurt that you stop trusting people. But when you're little, like, you can do anything as long as your parents are there. Like, you trust them, and they can tell you anything, and you trust them. I was really, like, I was, back when we were little, Nan and Pop used to, you know, spoil you as they do, because they're your grandparents. And so this time, like, we were going out, and we were going somewhere for lunch, and we'd said, like, we want to go to McDonald's. And my pop was like, no, we're going to go to the Golden Arches. And everybody now, you all know that that's the same thing, yes? Everyone knows that the Golden Arches and McDonald's, that's the same thing. I didn't know that when I was a little kid. And so basically my pop abused the trust that I had in him to freak me out, and I was devastated because I wanted to go to McDonald's, but he was going to take us to the Golden Arches, and I was like, well, I don't want to go there. And he's like, there's this place you drive up to a window and they take money away from you and give you food. And I was like, that's horrible. Anyway, I was very little. But you know, when you're a kid, you just trust those people in your life, and whatever they tell you, that's the truth, yeah? And that's what you do. And you don't worry about it. You don't stress about it unless it's something nasty like that. But you don't doubt what they're telling you. You just accept it and you just follow it, yeah? And this is God's promise to us, is that if we would just trust Him like a child, if we would just come to Him like a child, then He would make our path straight. And it says that in Proverbs 3. It says, trust in the Lord. And in verse, I've got a few extra bits here I want to read, so I'll read it. Trust in the Lord and with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. He says, trust God and what He has and what He's telling you to do and what He commands, and then he will make your path straight. And you don't have to worry about like trying to work everything out. You just got to trust him. You don't have to worry about having every single answer for your life or every single answer for every single question, but you've just got to trust him. I was at Scripture last week, like last Friday at school, and I had a Year 10 class, and the Year 10 classes are a bit better because they actually start to ask questions, and they were asking some tough questions, like about just all sorts of, you know, the normal kind of hard, why does God let people die kind of questions, and it's funny because the only way that you get to that is faith. And they're like, how do you know that God exists? And I'm like, well, that's faith. You trust him. If God showed up and proved that he existed, then there would be no point. Like, you wouldn't have faith. You'd be dead. So it's just like, I was just struck by how we can try and understand things so intellectually and we can miss God. And we can miss relationship with God. And God says, just trust in me. Amen. And In Luke 7, there's this great story. I really like this story. It's about this centurion, and you might know it. And basically what happens is Jesus is going around, and there's this centurion there whose servant is really sick and is about to die. And so he says that he sent some people to Jesus and asked to come to heal his servant. And so anyway, Jesus goes with them, and it says, the centurion comes out or sends friends out to say, Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. That's why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one go and he goes, and that one come and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him said, I tell you, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well. And I'm just amazed by this story of this guy who is not a Jewish guy. Like, and so he's not so worried about all the legal stuff, I think. But he just has this faith in Jesus. And he says, look, you don't even have to come to my house. But I know that if you say it, it'll happen. And it does. And I think that we can have that same attitude to God, that we're like, we don't have to worry about his promise being fulfilled or about waiting to see what's going to happen or thinking that it's not going to happen or it hasn't happened yet and so I just don't think it's going to work. But we can know that Jesus is there and that he is going to heal, that he is going to, you know, move, that he's going to do what he promised because he's faithful. And you can have faith in God like a child because he will never let you down. And that is such an incredible thing. And I think sometimes so hard for us to understand because we're used to people letting us down. But God will never let you down. And you can have faith in him. And so if you want to build a simple faith and you want to have a simple purpose and find the purpose of God for your life, then I think one of the most important things we can do is just have faith in God. Because he is faithful. I think like another thing that we need to do is have humility. Because I think like trying to work everything out on your own is like a form of pride because you think that you can figure it out. And so then you start worrying about it yourself. You start trying to figure out the answers yourself. And quickly, like, you stop listening to God and you start trying to do it in your own strength, yeah? And so, but God's command is that we would be humble like a child. And that we would come with humility because it's only when we come with humility that God can actually do something, yeah? Because he's not going to get in your way if you're really determined to do it yourself. He's going to let you, but if you trust him and if you humble yourself, then he's there, yeah? And he will move. And that's why, like I said before in 1 Corinthians, we have this great passage where Paul's talking and I'm just going to read probably just a whole chunk of it. So it's 1 Corinthians 1, in verse 18, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness for those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. He says, where are the wise? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has God not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. And I think it's so incredible that like, our world is the same today as it was then. There are people, they were looking for wisdom, they were looking for signs, they were trying to work it out. But God is just there, and even God's foolishness is better than our wisdom. And so we can be humble, yeah. We don't have to try and work it all out ourselves. But he says, but have faith like a child. Come like a child, humble. And trust me that what I know and what I have planned is so much bigger and is so much better than anything that you could think of, yeah. Because, like, even though when you were a kid and maybe even today you think you knew better than your parents, you didn't know better than your parents. And you know that, like, ultimately, you understand that your parents actually do know best when you're a kid. And they actually are doing things for your benefit. And the things that they do, even though you don't understand it, even though you think it might be wrong, are actually for you because they love you. And so instead of having, like, this proud heart where we try and just do it ourselves, if we come with this humble heart, this heart of a child, then God can do stuff in our lives and God can use us, yeah. I think we need to see God the same way as when you see your parents when you're a little kid. And just know that he's just so much greater and so much bigger and just so much better, yeah. I just remember being a kid and kicking like a soccer ball with dad, and your dad could always just kick a ball like all the way to the sky. Like, not even, you weren't even exaggerating if you said that. Like, he would be able to just kick it, and like, you would kick it, and you're like, oh, that's okay. But he could literally kick it to the sky. Literally. And there was this sense of amazement that your dad could just do anything. That he was so huge, and that he was so strong, and that he could never, like, nothing could ever go wrong. And that's the kind of attitude that we can bring to God, yeah? That we can come to him and go, look, wow, you are huge, God. And I am small, but you love me, and so I'm here in front of you, ready to do your will, yeah? And so if we come with a humble heart, then God can use us, and God can find, like, we can find our purpose in God, and we can fulfill that because we're not so worried about it, but we're just humbly seeking him and following him. And the third thing I think that we need is relationship. Because finding purpose is really simple when it's based on relationship. Like, if it's based on love, then there's no questions. You'll just do it. It doesn't matter what you have to do. You'll just do it because you love them, yeah? We all understand this. And when it comes to God, though, sometimes we think, like, if I have more knowledge or more theories or more theology or work it all out, then I'll be closer to God. Then I'll find the purpose that God has for my life. But God doesn't care how much you know. You know, he just cares that you know him. And it's good to have that knowledge. But if we have that at the expense of relationship with God, then we'll never find our purpose. Because you can't just by getting knowledge. Like, it just doesn't work, yeah? It has to come out of relationship. And in John 10, as Jesus is talking about us being sheep and him being a shepherd, he says this. He says, anyone who does not... Actually, I want to read this first piece. He says, very truly I tell you, Pharisees. I like how he just aims this one straight at the Pharisees. And he says, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. I was like, surely they knew, like, what he was sort of saying to them in that situation. And it's just straight out, he just puts it there. And then he says, but the one who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus says, like the sheep follow the shepherd because they recognize his voice, you know, because they've heard it every day of their life. You know, every single day the shepherd has told them to come out, has told them to go in, you know, has been there, has warned them, has kept them safe. And so they know the voice of the shepherd. And if we spend time in relationship with God, if we spend time like reading his word, listening to what he says, like worshiping, like listening, just sitting and listening and waiting for God to speak to us every day, if, as you develop that, then you begin to recognize the voice of God. Yeah, you begin to recognize the voice of your shepherd. And then it's not so much a worry of like, what am I going to do with myself? And am I fulfilling God's plan? But it's just like, okay, God, what do you got for me today? Like, where are you leading me today? And just following his voice really simply, I think, anyway. It's just, like, it's not, it doesn't have to be a big, like, huge moment all the time. That might happen sometimes, but a lot of the time, God's just trying to speak to you every day. He is trying to speak to you every day. And daily, like, he's sitting there and he's saying stuff to you, and you either listen to it and develop this understanding of what God's voice sounds like, or you try and ignore it and you just don't listen, yeah? And so I think if we want to build like simple faith, if we want to get back to like just the simple purpose of God, then we need to have relationship with him. And maybe that's a no-brainer, and it should be. So I think that's about all I've got tonight, but I guess I've just been thinking about just how God doesn't want the Christian faith to be really complicated and difficult. And simple means like something that is easy to understand and easy to use. And I like that as a definition of following Christ. You know, it's easy to understand and it's easy to use. It's easy to put into practice in my life day to day. And so I think that happens with, you know, like relationship and trust and humility and just listening to God every day and following him. Amen. So I don't know. That's it. I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for everything you've done for us. And God, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and that we can just simply follow him. And God, just like the first Christians did, just as the early church and the disciples did, we can just do the things that you did, Lord, and trust you to direct our path and guide our life. And God, I pray that you just really stir that up into us. God, challenge us to spend time with you, to build a relationship with you, to listen for your voice every day. God, not to try and work things out on ourselves. Yeah, ourselves, God, but just come humbly, just trusting you, Lord. And yeah, I just pray for your blessing on every person here tonight. Amen.